Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, February the 19th. And today we're going to take a look at Texas politics with our good friend George Rodriguez. We're going to look at three topics, very important topics in Texas politics. The first one is AOC visiting Texas and trying to get herself involved in Texas politics, in essence, in a couple of primaries against moderate Democrats, one of them, Henry Cuellar, south of the border. The other one is the race between Governor Abbott and Mr. O'Rourke. That race is becoming very stable. I wrote a post about this the other day at the American Thinker, where, you know, if you look at the last four polls, that race is awfully stable. Not much is changing. And then last but not least, we'll take a look at potentially very contentious race for Attorney General on the GOP side with respect to the primary for Attorney General. So we'll look at these three topics and add a few other things along the way. So let me welcome once again our good friend George Rodriguez from San Antonio. George, the lights didn't go out last week, so I guess we all survived the winter storm, right?
Yeah, although there seemed to be some people that were cheering for it to go out, but...
Yeah, does that happen to be a guy running for governor?
I believe he is. Yeah, he was really talking loud about it.
Right. You know. Yeah, he was really hoping for the lights to go out again, wasn't he?
He was, which is very, very unusual.
Yes, it is.
Because I mean, it's ironic because if the lights would have gone out, it would have been easy to lay the blame at his party's policies. But you know, who knows how the mind thinks.
Right, yeah, we'll have to maybe wait for the next winter or maybe for the next time that Beto O'Rourke, maybe the next time he'll run for president and he'll talk about the lights going out. But, you know, we have three very interesting stories here in Texas that I wanted to get into. The first one is AOC visiting Texas, and she was here campaigning on behalf of a couple of her friends or I guess sidekicks, whatever they're called. And you were present at the AOC rally, so tell us a little bit about it. The background, of course, for those who may not be familiar, is that we have a very moderate Democrat in South Texas by the name of Henry Cuellar, who's been very well known here for the last year because of his opposition to the Biden border policies. And then there's another one in Austin, but you were at the rally, so tell us about it, George.
Well, she announced that she was coming in to San Antonio to campaign for two primary challengers to incumbents, to Democratic incumbents. And the rally was going to be held here in San Antonio, or was held here in San Antonio, because the districts meet here in San Antonio, the one from Laredo and the one from Austin. They actually meet here in San Antonio. Now, what's very, very interesting about this is that in both cases, the incumbent Democrat is being challenged very, very strongly by this radical leftist element, which AOC represents. In the case of Laredo, she was campaigning for a lady named Cisneros, no relation to Henry Cisneros, the former mayor and HUD secretary, but she's campaigning for a young lady named Cisneros. And this lady, Cisneros, is very, very radical. She supports open borders. She supports defunding the police. She supports defunding the Border Patrol. She supports free health care for everyone, including undocumented aliens. She is extremely, extremely radical, at least for the taste and standards of Texans, most Texans. So she came in to help her, who is challenging Cuellar. Now, Cuellar is an old, Henry Cuellar is an old-style Texas moderate Democrat, what they used to call the Blue Dog Democrats. And it used to be white Anglo-Saxons that were the Blue Dog Democrats, that you had them in Georgia, you had them in Texas, you had them in Mississippi. They've disappeared in those states. I believe that Henry is the last of his kind. He represents these South Texas moderates who were more populist, FDR populists, than anything else. And of course, they, because they are pro-America in many ways, are frowned upon by the by these radical leftists who are globalists. The other congressman that was being challenged by a guy named Kassar, who is a city councilman out of Austin, again, a very radical individual who promoted the defund the police position in Austin. And what's curious about Lloyd Doggett, and they don't want to, the Democrats don't want to mention it, but it seems to be the underlying battle, is that not only is Lloyd Doggett a considered by them a moderate, certainly not by me, but they consider him a moderate, he is also a white male. And, you know, I've asked many, many white male Democrats, how can you continue to be that in a party that seems to dislike you just based on race and gender? And seems to be the underlying reason why they want to get rid of him. He is being challenged by this guy, Kassar, who is, I believe, either of Puerto Rican or of Mexican descent, and who is very, very much a socialist. And, you know, AOC came in, held a huge rally. Huge, depending on who you talk to. We were there. We saw it. It might have drawn about 100, maybe 150 people. There were protesters across the street as they were arriving. And the protesters numbered about 100 to 150. So, you know, the reception that she got had to have been surprising for her. At the same time, the media spin has been tremendous in talking about what she says, but they never mention the protesters unless you mention them in context of what she said about the protesters. She said that the protesters were a clear threat to democracy.
Well, I guess we always are a threat to democracy.
Right. Their definition of democracy.
Right, exactly. It's so funny. They always use that line, a threat to democracy, a threat to freedom. And after a while, it becomes as silly as calling everybody a racist, you know. But one of the interesting things for me, George, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Number one, she is down in she's dividing the Democrat Party, of course.
Because
obviously, you know, if her candidate, for example, if her candidate, let's say, gets 30, 35% of the vote in one of these primaries, are those 30 or 35% going to turn around and vote Democrat, or is one of them going to mount an independent drive and see
state? Or stay home.
So you end up, you know, you end up taking two relatively safe Democrats, Cuellar, who's more acceptable to you and me, and Doggett. I don't know much about him, but I know he's pretty liberal. But so they're running the possibility of actually losing two seats. Now, one person, George, who was really absent, I didn't see him anywhere, and that is Beto O'Rourke. Did he go to this rally, or does he have any connection to this thing?
It shows how it's every man for themselves type situation in this election season among the Democrats. Neither one of these Democrat candidates has called on Biden to come help them. Neither of the incumbent Democrats has called on Biden to come help them. They have also stayed clear of Beto's gubernatorial race. It is reflective. I think it's very reflective, not of the division within the party based on how poor the party, the Democrat Party, is doing and messaging.
Right. I was going to say that they cannot call on the vice president because she's over in Ukraine, right?
She's in Ukraine. She's busy.
Yeah, she's busy in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
She's over there, so she's too busy right now to campaign in Texas.
Visiting Badwater.
That's right, yeah. She's very concerned. I think she's going to come back and tell us about the root causes of the Ukrainian crisis. But I think you're right. I think you make an excellent point that we're really seeing here is the weakness of the Democrat Party in Texas. There was a very interesting story that came out the other day. There's a retiring Democrat in Tennessee, Cooper, I think is his name. And on his way out, he basically said, you know, we're losing the entire rural areas. I mean, you know, there are no Democrats in rural areas. Another Democrat in Pennsylvania basically said the same thing. We're losing. We're becoming basically a party of the cities. And you know, that's, I understand people in cities, but you know, you have to wonder, you know, in order to win elections, you got to get more than city people. You got to get some of those people out there in the suburbs and some of those people out there. So 150 people, George, I'm not good at it. I don't know what her expectations were, but I have a funny feeling they thought more than 150 people would go.
Oh yeah,
to see AOC. So was there a football game going on? Was Texas playing?
I mean, it's very, very interesting that you mentioned that because they did blame it on a cold front that came in that day.
Oh, really?
Very windy, and it was very cold last Saturday.
Well, that's true. And I think everybody was watching the Olympics, George, right? Everybody was watching the Olympics, right? That's what it was.
Her rally was another victim of climate change, I guess.
Well, I think so, because it was so windy that it had to be climate change. What else could it be? But I think the larger picture, though, George, is, as you indicated, that we are really threatening two Democrats in a year in which they've got to hold on to everything they have.
They do.
You know, because they're going to have a hard time holding on. And if Cuellar is not renominated in the primary, he's got a pretty good – that district has a very good chance of going Republican, because I understand President Trump just endorsed the lady who's running against him, George.
Yeah, it is. Let me tell you again. You know, you mentioned Congressman Cooper, the Democrat out of Tennessee. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that Cuellar's district is something like 60% rural. So you know, it may be 80% Hispanic. But I guarantee that the Hispanics that live in the rural areas have more in common with Anglos that live in the rural areas than they do with Hispanics that live in the U.S.
Right, and certainly with respect to values, what they call values. I think that there was a very interesting video that came out yesterday. I would recommend it to everybody, by Dick Morris, who is, you know, the famous political analyst. And,
yeah,
you know, Dick Morris has had his ups and downs over the years, but I thought on this one, he was right on target. He thinks that the mom and dad, you know, what the mother and fathers of 2020, what he calls the value moms, are like the soccer moms of before, you know, back in the 90s, or the security moms, you know, when one of the factors Bush was reelected was because of the security moms in 2004. And now you have these moms who are in total shock when they see what their kids are learning.
Yeah.
I have a post coming out Sunday at the American Thinker about this, talking about this, the stuff that these kids are being told to read about. You know, we're talking here about fifth graders, sixth graders. We're not talking about college kids. We're talking about, you know, fifth graders and sixth graders who are getting all kinds of indoctrination on things like transgender and stuff like that. And there's a lot of moms out there. There's a lot of dads out there who are saying, no, that's got to stop. So I think, with respect to Hispanic parents, I would put them in that values category.
They're very, very there. You know, people underestimate how traditional Hispanics are, even the young ones, how traditional they are. Now, two things that I've got to mention. One of them, that would have gotten under your skin was that there were four people standing around with big placards defending AOC, you know, welcoming her, wearing Che Guevara shirts. And not only that, not only were
I'm glad you didn't tell me that last Saturday, George. I would have gone down and beaten the crap out of them.
It was. And not only did they have the picture of Che Guevara, they had across, you know, on top of the picture, Libertad. And I thought, you know.
How ironic.
I mean, these folks really just don't understand, or know.
Yeah, they don't get it. I mean, they're actually, I would file that one, George, under ignorance.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know who Che Guevara is, obviously you're not very well educated. That's all I say. But I think overall, I think you would agree with me. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think overall, this was not the visit that AOC thought it would be.
No.
I think she was expecting a lot more.
Yeah,
now, she's getting a lot, like you say, she's getting a lot of free media. The media loves her.
Reality is different.
I don't think she changed a lot of things, but she probably made a lot of Democrats very angry, I would think, George.
Yeah,
a lot of Democrats. Well, let's talk a little bit about the governor. We have a very interesting situation here. I wrote a post a couple of days ago over at the American Thinker talking about this race. And since it became Beto versus the governor in the middle of November, when that movie star, whatever his name is, dropped out, I forgot his name. Honestly, I don't remember his name. Matthew something, right? But
McConaughey.
Okay, there you go. Very good actor.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor, and we wish him a lot of success in the movies.
Not
right now. But anyway, since that happened, and it's been a Beto versus Abbott race, there have been four polls taken. And the average of the four is plus 10 for the governor. Now, one of the four had it at 4 points, I think, but all the others are like 11 or 12. But when you look at the race that way, it does seem like, I think it's fair to say that at this stage of the game, the governor is 10 points up on O'Rourke, which raises two big problems, George, that I'd like to get your thoughts on. The first one is of course, you know, the money issue. The governor has all the money he needs. He's got $65 million, so he's just sitting there waiting for the primary, and then you're going to see a lot of ads on TV about Beto wanting to take your guns away. So that's coming. But the other thing is that I think come July or August, when, you know, Beto needs money, a lot of deep pockets across the country are going to say, Beto, no, we're not going to give you money because you're not going to win. And that is a big contrast with 4 years ago, where I think a lot of big money came to Texas thinking that he could defeat Senator Cruz. So that's how I see it now. How do you see this race here in a week before the primary, George?
The guy is just not getting any traction. I'm sorry. The only traction that he is getting is from, again, the radical left, the folks that, are outside the state who are willing to gamble. And I'll use that word gamble because, if it was a sure thing, it wouldn't be called gambling. They are in a situation, in a terrible situation, where, again, it's a problem of the messaging. This guy has shot off his mouth repeatedly about taking our guns, about opening the borders, about amnesty, about free, about growing the government, about free speech, limiting free speech. He's done everything radically to the left, and he's got a record of it. Now he's trying to play, now he's trying to downplay it, and he can't. And so the record is there. It's going to come back to haunt him. And unless you've been on Mars and you have no idea of who he is and what he's done, and you're going to go again with this whole idea that he's very photogenic, you know, remember who was it? One of those magazines that started out fawning over him at the very, very beginning, and everybody followed suit for only about 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden they dropped him when he was running against Ted Cruz. You know, now they're not even talking about him being, you know, fawning over him. They're not even talking about that. So his message, what message does he have?
Right.
You know, that
well, that's the problem. That's the problem, that his message, I mean, one of our friends watching sent me a note saying that he now supports the Second Amendment. I'm sure that a lot of people in Texas are going to say, okay, there it is. That's my reason for voting for Beto. He supports the Second Amendment. The other day, too, he said something that was rather remarkable. He said that he was talking about the new abortion law, you know, in Texas, the heartbeat law, which, by the way, has, I think, eliminated something like 60% of abortions are down. I mean, which is really a remarkable.
It's remarkable.
A remarkable figure. But he was saying that abortions are good for business. That's what he said. Abortions are good for business.
They're not good for the fetus. They're not good for the fetus.
No, they're not good for the fetus. Remember, President Reagan, our hero, had that great line that he said, I never met anybody. President Reagan said, everybody I've ever met who supports abortion is alive. Remember that great line by President Reagan. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that. And I think it left a lot of people, you know, I think it left a lot of people wondering what exactly he meant. But he seems to be, I'm trying to be fair in this because I don't want to, you know, believe something that isn't true, but I'm trying to be fair. But I think you had the right explanation. I mean, a minute ago, he's not getting any traction. You know, he doesn't seem to be moving forward. He's stuck where he is. And that, I think, is why the race is what it is right now, 10 points. And that's, you know, if I had to bet money, that's probably where it'll be. I said at the beginning of all of this that it was going to be about a 7-point race, 53-46, something like that, maybe 54-45. That's what I thought it was going to be, and I'm going to stick to that. I think the governor is going to win fairly easily.
I think he is.
Yeah.
You know, if Governor Abbott is going to have a tough race, it's right now during the primary.
You'll enjoy this comment, George. We just got a comment. Somebody saying that is not really photogenic. He's actually very goofy. So, I think we
see him in person.
Right. We like that comment. I love that. Not very photogenic. He's very goofy. I like that. I like that. Well, our third topic today, George, the time is flying as it always does when we get together. But our third topic today is the race for the Attorney General on the GOP side. You know, I don't know what it's like in San Antonio, but our commercials up here are very intense for all three of them, television and radio. Whether it's Guzman, the lady who's running, whether it's Bush, very intense advertising, and whether it's Paxton, also very intense. Now, my sense is that Bush and Guzman are like basically fighting for who's going to come in number two. And that, whoever that is, of course, will play against the Attorney General. I think of all the races, of all the campaigns, George, that could really be contentious once it gets into the runoff. Well, what is your take on that?
Oh, definitely. I think it's going to get contentious in the next, just before the election, just before the final or the primary election in March. I think it's going to get very, very contentious. You've got Louis Gohmert, a very, very well-known, very respected congressman running. You've got George Bush, whose name recognition is very, very strong. And then this lady Guzman. Now, what's very, very interesting is, you know, and I spoke up in Fort Worth last week, so I was up in your neck of the woods. I saw all of the advertising, the political ads that are going on in the media. But it was very curious because I compared it to what we're seeing here. Here in Texas, here in San Antonio, in South Texas, we're seeing a lot about Bush and the border. Bush has been endorsed by the Border Patrol folks. We're seeing a lot about Louis Gohmert. He's very, very well respected down here. Not very much about Guzman, which is very, very interesting because, I mean, she's a Hispanic female. In fact, I don't think I've seen very many ads at all by her.
Well, that's down there, you mean, because up here, up here she's very busy. I mean, the ads are constant.
Well, that's what I, that's why I find very, very curious and ironic is that, you know, here you've got, you know, South Texas is the Hispanic capital of, you know, the of Texas. So, you know, you would think that somebody last name Guzman would spend some time down here.
But is she from South Texas? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think she's from, I think she's from either Houston or West Texas, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's running a very good ad, actually, about her dad being killed by an illegal immigrant.
No.
She's running a very effective ad about that. At least I saw that. I hope I got the ad correct. I think it was about her father, or either her father or somebody that she knew. But it's a very effective ad. And she's talking now. Her big issue, and it's interesting because I have not seen Bush do this. Bush is by basically focusing on the border. That's his whole take. I mean, he's basically saying, I will border.
And he's going to stop them.
I'm going to stop the border.
Yeah.
But in the case of Guzman, she is hitting Paxton very hard on, you know, the allegations and the legal problems he could have. So that's the interesting part that, you know, she's really focusing on that. And I have to be honest with you, George, I think I'm not the only Republican who feels that way. There are Republicans concerned about these allegations. If they explode, let's say in the middle of a general election, could they hand the Democrats the AG? But that's a concern that I think a lot of us have. And now I don't know. I've tried to find out more about the attorney general's problems, and I can't quite understand. I don't know if it's just a lot of attacks on him because he's a Trump supporter, or I don't know if it's just if it's true. I don't know what it is. So I don't know if you have any better feeling for it.
I have tried to research it myself, you know, and I have not found anything that really has traction on his. On him having a serious problem. Now, he is, the allegations were there or are there, so people are going to make hay about it. And that's, you know, I mean, again, that's the sad situation of politics, and it's certainly the sad situation of the liberal media, is that they're going to run with it. I mean, if he wins, they are going to run with it regardless if it's factual or not.
Right.
You know, it's got as
well. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that before. I'm sure you remember. I'm sure you remember Russia, right?
Russia. Yeah, collusion.
That's right. But what's interesting is the Dallas Morning News came out and endorsed Eva Guzman for Attorney General. I thought that was. I don't know what the other newspapers have done, but here in town, the Dallas Morning News came out. Well, George, we're just about out of time. What else is going on? Particularly with our Democrat friends, you know, we obviously have not talked too much about their primary, but other than, of course, Cuellar down in South Texas, anything else going on? Because I don't even hear commercials for Democrats. And now, granted, I listen to stations that maybe, you know, like WBAP up here, which is very a station that focuses. They have a lot of talk shows there that are conservative, but I haven't seen any TV. Or any radio, or heard any radio. I mean, it seems like the Democrats are either not spending money or they don't have much of a race going on, George.
The Democrats are playing two things. They're playing hide and seek, and they are definitely hiding, and they're kind of upset because the Republicans are not really seeking them. The Republicans are running with a banner already. And the second thing that they are doing is this rope-a-dope where they're just standing back and letting the Republicans take all the shots against them, against Biden that they want, in hopes that they are not going to get hit by the blows that Biden is taking. However, I just can't imagine what they are going to run on, particularly the radical ones. And so, you know, I see at this point in February an absolute disaster for the Democratic Party in Texas.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think it's starting to look that way. And that's why I was concerned about Paxton, because he could be the only, if let's say something credible comes out during the campaign. Now, I will say this about Paxton. You would think that by now, with as much attention as the media has been paying to these potential allegations and problems, you would think that by now something would have come out. I mean, because we've been hearing about this stuff for a year, and nothing, something comes out and it doesn't go, it doesn't get to first base or it doesn't get to second base. So you know, maybe it's just a bunch of hot air and nothing more to it. But clearly, I think when I went to vote, I voted early like a lot of people did. That was, of all the races were fairly, fairly straightforward for me. I didn't have to think about any other races. But that's the one where I walked away saying to myself, did I do the right thing? And I'm not going to get into who I voted today, but that's the only one where I felt that I had a reason to worry about potential problems in the race. Well, George, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We sure got a bunch of nice comments. I got to tell you, that one about Beto, that wins the one for the comment of the year. We're going to designate that one of the year, and it's gonna take a heck of a comment to outdo that one. And then I do want to once again thank our friend Sally for sending some comments, and everybody else who's been reporting their comments. And George, you have a wonderful day. I guess there's nothing to do tomorrow. There's no Super Bowl, right?
No Super Bowl, no football. You know,
and no baseball. They're in an argument too.
Yeah, really.
Well, the baseball, of course. Yeah, they're in a lockout, and spring training was supposed to start this week. You know, the old one about the pitchers and the catchers showing up early, and now they're talking about the possibility of delaying the season. And I've got to tell you, if I'm a baseball player, I got to be calling Players Union and saying, folks, get this thing done.
Take care of it.
Take care of this, because we're not helping ourselves.
Remember the last lockdown really hurt pro baseball.
I think they hurt all the sports, because it comes down to basically millionaires arguing with each other, whether it's the owners. I just don't think there's a lot of sympathy for that. And this commissioner, this baseball commissioner who took the game away from Atlanta, he's not my favorite anyway. So let's hope that the baseball owners and players can put this little nonsense behind them. They're arguing about how much money their great-grandchildren are going to spend 100 years from now. That's what they're arguing about. They're not really arguing about paying the rent next month or the mortgage next month. They're talking about how much money they're going to leave in their will to their great-grandchildren. So they need to get this done. But, George, we'll talk baseball on another chance once they start playing. I know you're an Astros fan, and I'm a Rangers fan, so hopefully this year there is a reason to cheer for the Rangers. Not much last year. Okay.
I'd be happy if the Cowboys played baseball.
Well, that would be good. I got my Cowboys jersey on today because it was kind of windy. Well, it's kind of windy here, and I thought I would wear this to protect myself. Have a great day, George, and
you
we'll
too.
Talk to you later. Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much.